I like to think of it as, you know, the rhythm of Hill Country Blues. And I like to think of it, you know, as unorthodox. It's not a straight 1-4-5 like normal blues would be. It's kind of got a rhythm of its own. It's kind of hard to explain, actually, but it's really a distinct sound. And I think the unorthodox rhythm is what make Hill Country Blues stand out from any other blues music you hear.
That is Hill Country Blues musician, songwriter, and 2021 National Heritage Fellow, Cedric Burnside. And this is Artworks, the weekly podcast from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. Cedric Burnside is a proud inheritor of Mississippi Hill Country Blues. His father was drummer Calvin Jackson, and his grandfather, the man Cedric calls his big daddy, was the great bluesman R.L. Burnside. Cedric essentially grew up in R.L.'s house, listening to the music, playing along at the regular house parties, and at the local juke joint. Cedric began as a drummer, and by 13, he was backing R.L. and a host of blues legends on tours. Beginning his musical life as a drummer, and becoming an award-winning one at that, Cedric added guitar playing to his repertoire, partly because he found it useful for his prolific songwriting. He soon came out with a solo album, Benton County Relic, which was nominated for a Grammy and showed once again that Cedric Burnside is one of the great proponents of this distinctive music. He tends to the tradition, but he also makes it his own. This isn't music calcified in the past. It's very much of the present, but you can also hear and feel its deep roots. I was thrilled to talk with Cedric before he did a show in Brooklyn, New York. Since we were backstage, you'll be able to hear a little background noise as well as an air conditioner that would occasionally go on. But no matter, Cedric Burnside is a terrific storyteller. And because Hill Country is central to the music and to the man, I asked Cedric to tell me about the place where he was raised.
Well, I grew up in a little town called Tullahoma, Mississippi, on the outskirts of a town called Holly Springs. It's where I come from. It's you know, the environment I come from, the family I come from. They played, you know, Hill Country Blues at house parties every other weekend. People will come from miles away, you know, just to hear it on the weekends. And so that's where I come from. And it was kind of a traditional thing. You know, it's something that just goes on in North Mississippi. You know, people throw house parties at the juke joints or on their front porch, you know, and people just come to have fun. That's the Hill Country way.
Well, your family has deep roots in this music. Your dad was drummer Calvin Jackson.
Yes.
And yes. Your grandfather, the great bluesman, R.L. Burnside. Mm. Tell me a little bit about both, because I'm sure you know they both mentored you.
Yeah, they did. In different ways, both in different ways. I spent most of my time with my big daddy, R.L. I kind of spent, you know, my whole childhood with him. So I was always around the music. It was in my blood. I feel like I was born with this, you know, music in me. But I was always around it from a little kid. And I used to watch my dad, you know, Calvin Jackson, and, you know, my uncles, Daniel Burnside and Joseph Burnside, and my big daddy, of course, R.L. I used to watch them play every other weekend. And I knew it was just something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life, even at a young age, 6-7 years old. I watched my dad on the drums, and I just watched him in amazement. You know, I watched my big daddy, and he was singing and he was playing, and his voice was like, you know, something that was out of this world. And I knew it was something that I wanted to do, you know, for the rest of my life. And I knew that at a young age.
That's really fortunate. Tell me about the rest of your childhood. What was it like?
Well, a lot of people would say it was pretty rough, you know. Just the way I grew up, the environment I grew up in. We didn't have running water when I was growing up until I was about 11, you know, 12 years old. We hauled water to bathe, to eat, to clean. And I would walk you know, a mile, sometimes a mile and a half. Me and other grandchildren, we would walk with a belt on our back and hauling water in jugs. So we did that for years. And to me, it was normal. It's what I always knew. You know, I had to haul water from, you know, 3 or 4 years old. If I was big enough to hold a jug, I would go, you know, get water. It was the way we did things. And so it was normal to me. I didn't think, you know, any poor thoughts. I knew that sometimes we kind of low in food, mainly meat. My big daddy was a sharecropper. So he would get up real early in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, to go get on the tractor to plow the fields. And so he would get out there and really just work for food and shelter. And in return, the landlord let us stay in this little shack house, about a four room house, you know, and I mean just four rooms. And we stayed in that house in return for my big daddy working for the landlord. And when it come time to harvest the crops, they would go to the market and sell what they can, and then they would split what they have left between my big daddy and the landlord. And that's really how he did things for a while, food and shelter. He worked, and in return, food and shelter was his pay. That's where I come from. I'm not ashamed where I come from. You know, I'm not ashamed of what I went through to get where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
It made me stronger, definitely made me not take anything for granted. So I come from that world. I'm here, you know, right now because of my big daddy, Aya Burnside.
So he's sharecropping,
yeah,
and also creating all this extraordinary music.
Music all at the same time. He would jump off the tractor after being on it for 3 or 4 hours. He would jump off because somebody would come and want to meet him. We stayed way deep off in the sticks, you know. And so if they come to that house, they wanted to be there, you know. So he would get off the tractor and come and do an interview and maybe play a song or two for the people who would come. And then he would jump back on the tractor and go back to work. And on the weekends, like I said, they would set up on the front porch or go to a local juke joint, and they would just jam out for people. And people would come and bring moonshine, and you know, and some people would come and maybe even bring food and drinks just in return of listening at the music. It was always a good time when the music was going on.
When did you start to play?
Wow. I jumped on the drums for the first time when I was about 6, 7 years old. I was watching my dad and big dad and uncles play, and when they take a break, I always wanted to get on the drums. I drove my mom crazy, beating on buckets and pans and you know, and stuff in the house. I drove her nuts doing that. And, you know, I always wanted to jump on the drums when I saw my dad play, but I never had the courage to just get on them. You know, I was ashamed. And so just one day, one evening, I just built up the courage. You know, I don't really know where it come from. I just felt like I wanted to get on the drums. And when my dad took a break, I jumped up there on the drums. Yeah. It didn't matter if I sounded bad. I'm sure I did, you know. But I guess.
But it felt
good. The big part was just having the courage to get up there and do it. And the people started saying, look at that little boy. You know, he's going to be good someday. I just love that music. It always touched my heart. Even today, I love to play my music. When I'm home, I play my music. I take, you know, breaks when I'm home, but I have to play my music. You know, it's a big part of me.
Well, you have a great line in Ain't Gonna Take No Mess, which is a great song. You know, my school was a juke mm-hmm. joint. Blues was all I ever knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really do want to hear about your time as a kid playing in a juke joint.
Yeah. Wow.
That's just so
Are
cool.
Are you sure you're ready for this?
I think I might be.
Well, I have to say, it was amazing. It was really amazing, adrenaline pumping, you know, little childhood. I started playing in the juke joint at age about 10 years old. And my uncle, Gary Burnside, he's a couple years older than me. Everybody think we brothers, you know, but he's my uncle. And he started playing bass. He was about 12. I was about 10. And we started playing at Junior Kimbrough's juke joint. We was really became the house band there at a very young age. They would hide us behind the bill coolers, you know, when the police come in to check out the place, you know, because they didn't want us to leave. You know, we was the band. So, yeah, that started at a young age. And then wasn't very long after that, when I started playing in the juke joints, my dad, Calvin Jackson, he was still playing with my big daddy. So my dad moved to Europe, a town called Oss-Holland, O-S-S. And he moved there, and I guess about a year or so after he moved, I became the drummer for my big daddy, you know. And yeah, I was nervous, you know, going out of town because I'd never been anywhere.
Yeah, you were touring. You started touring with him.
I started touring with him. Yeah, I started touring with him. Fat Possum came to the juke joint when I was about 12, 13 years mm-hmm. old.
And you're talking about the label, Fat Possum Records.
Yes, they came to the juke joint and they saw me playing with my big daddy. And they was blown away, you know, because like I said, it's an unorthodox rhythm of music. And you have to really be on your P's and Q's to play drums behind the music, you know. And so I did it well because I was so used to it. I grew up with it, you know, and I watched my dad and I watched my big daddy. And I just grew up loving the groove. So it was in me.
Question I have for you, Cedric, because okay, you toured the world with your grandfather, and one tour was called the Juke Joint Tour, and you were backing as the drummer your grandfather, Robert Cage,
yeah,
Junior Kimbrough, and Paul Jones,
Jones. Wow.
And yes. I'm just so curious because the drummer is the one who really has to hold it together, and
oh, yeah.
You're playing with four different musicians, and that must have been an incredible learning.
Yes.
But I'm curious how you
wow.
did it and what that was like.
Wow, you know, that is a great question. That's a great question. You know, playing behind all of those cats, it was great. But one of the most challenging things playing behind them is every last one of them had a different rhythm. They had a different change. Their voice was different with music, you know, so everything was different. And I'm not going to lie, it was challenging a lot of times. And so I actually had to go practice with these guys when I had time off, which was very little. I had very little time off. If I had a couple of days off, I was practicing either with Paul Wine Jones or Mr. Robert Cage, Junior Kimbrough. So I had to really adapt. And that's what I did. One of my most challenging people to play with was Mr. Robert Cage. And for that, I loved it even more because he had the most unique changes and I loved them. And if you didn't really hear him and listen really hard, you would miss that change. And believe me, if you miss that change, you are gone. You off the road, trust me. Yeah, you done ran off the road if you missed that chain. It's mandatory. But I really enjoyed it playing with all of those cats, man. And they had different stories. You know, they each came from different walks of life. Kind of the same because they struggled in all the walks of life, you know. But it was really good. Yeah, it was really amazing.
Well, you were Blues Drummer of the Year, 5 years in a row? I could be missing one or two.
Yeah. I won about Eight times.
Eight. But five was in a row.
Five in a row, yeah.
Yeah, which is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, thank the universe for working with me, you know?
And you working with the universe.
Yes.
It has to go both ways.
We got to agree, yeah.
So what compelled you to pick up a guitar and to start playing the guitar, adding that to your repertoire?
Repertoire, all right. Well, several different reasons. One, I have to just really say this first. One reason I wanted to play guitar is I just felt it in my bones, in my blood. You know, when I watch my big daddy on the stage, you know, after playing drums behind him for so long, I watched him on that stage. I picked up the guitar for the first time, I guess around 2003, you know, maybe 2002 or something like that. And I just really wanted to learn how to play. And just playing my music for so long to other people, for a long time, I didn't know how to play guitar. And so I always had a guitar player, and I played drums and sang behind the drums.
So you would sing while you drum?
Yeah, I would sing when I drum. And so I got used to kind of humming out the music, you know, because I couldn't play it. And I had to hum it out, and whatever guitar player I had, they had to just do it their way by my mouth.
So the way you would teach the guitar player the songs you were writing was by humming them for him.
Yes. And so I got frustrated with that. You know, I wanted to show people what I was thinking in my mind, you know, and what I was hearing in my head. I wanted to show people that. You know, I thought to myself, what better way to show them than to just learn how to play this guitar, and then you can show them. And I got in and out the guitar, you know, for a while, and I didn't really have time to focus on it like I wanted to at that time. And so maybe about 10 years ago is when I really sat down and really focused and said that I was going to do this. You know, I was going to try to be good at it and try to be me. I didn't want to be nobody else. I wanted to play what I heard in my head.
And that's why, because I was going to ask you what were you able to say with the guitar that you couldn't with drums?
Yes. Wow. That's a great question. You know, it became my newfound love. It definitely became my newfound love. And my way of writing really changed. I wrote a lot of times with the drums, of course, because that was my first instrument. But getting to play the guitar and really sing to the melody of the guitar, whatever the guitar do, you know, you try to mimic that. And so that was a new thing for me, but also a really cool thing. You know, I really loved it. And so I started doing it more, trying to find little melodies to my guitar playing, you know, and try to make my voice sound like that key, whatever that was, you know, because I couldn't read music. I can't read it right now, you know. I know some keys and some I'm still learning. But yeah, it changed my way of writing, changed my way of, you know, setting up a song structure wise. I like to think I got a lot from it, and I still got a lot to learn, you know.
When did you start writing songs?
Oh, wow.
And what inspires you when you do?
Well, I started writing at a very young age. I think I was about 12, 13 years old when I wrote my first song.
I didn't realize that.
I was in it so much. But yeah, you know, I try to write my music according to what I go through in life. Life throw me all kind of different curveballs, you know, every day, every year. Is something different happens in my life. For the most part, it's been great things, you know, good things. Bad things have happened in my life. I know it happens in everybody's life at some point. But, you know, that's really what I try to write about. You know, things that I go through today, things that my family and friends go through, and try to talk about things that I hope to inspire people. I hope to inspire and encourage people. Inspire people to do great things, the right things, and just to really take life for what it is. Try not to be too serious and just try to be the best person that you can be. If you can try to be the best person you can be, I think we'll get through life way better than we're doing right now.
Amen. And those are the stories that you tell with your songs.
That's what I try to put out there with my song. Mm-hmm. I try to put out positivity, but I also try to be real to the fact, because everything out there is not positive, you know.
Well, and you're on, I mean, look, you know, at your recent CD, I'd Be Trying. I mean, there we are.
Exactly.
Was Benton County Relic your first solo CD?
Yes, my first solo CD on guitar was Benton County Relic.
What was that? What was that experience like for you? I mean, there you are. It's like, okay, I'm ready.
You know, it was really amazing. I have to say, it was really awesome. I'll tell you what made it so awesome to me. What made it so awesome is I got a chance to do me instead of, you know, writing stuff with other people or collaborating with other people. I got a chance to do Cedric Burnside. You know, what you see is what you get. What you hear is what you get. You know, the raw, stripped down blues is where I come from. You know, guitar and drums, that's where I come from. So I wanted to give people that, because that's where my heart is. And Ben Cantarelic let me do that.
I ain't gonna take no mess from you, no, 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 no. I ain't gonna take no mess from you, no. I ain't gonna take no mess from you, no, 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 no. I ain't gonna take no mess from you, no. I've been struggling since I was a child. But I ain't gonna let you rattle my brain. I ain't gonna take no mess from you. No, 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 no.
I wanted to show people that not only do I want to play guitar, not only do I want to play drums, I want to play every instrument I can before I leave this world. You know, I want to write songs until I leave this world. You know, I wanted to show people that I'm a songwriter, not just a guitarist, drummer. I'm a songwriter. But I like to think of myself as a musician. You know, that's what musicians do.
Yeah,
you know?
That's just what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly. And of course, it was nominated for a Grammy.
Hey.
Your second, but come
there
on.
There it is again.
Right
universe,
out of the
bat. Universe, let's keep on working.
You've said that you want to be authentic and unique, traditional, but also modern. And that can be a hard needle to thread. And I think you succeed brilliantly, but I'm just curious how you go about doing that.
I really don't even think about, you know, the music that I play, except that's what comes out of me. I really just play whatever comes out of me. You know, whatever it sounds like, that's what it sounds like. I really don't think of myself as playing a guitar. It's kind of like the guitar play me. You know, I just play whatever comes through me and it just comes out. But I don't really think about the sound. It just comes out that way. You know, it's just what's in me. I have had people tell me that, man, wow, your music sound like old school back in the 60s and the 70s. You know, it sounds so old, but so modern. And so that's why I say, you know, I'm glad to sound, you know, old school, but modern at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to sound that way, but I'm also glad to be different. Most people that listen at my music, they have told me that I don't sound like anybody that they done heard before, you know. So I got my own thing, and I'm proud of it. Some people don't get it. A lot of people do get it because of the unorthodox rhythm and stuff of the music and just where I come from. I tend to still write my music like that, not trying to keep the tradition alive per se, but it's just happening. And I'm glad and I'm proud, And I thank my big daddy, Aya Burnside, for just believing in me enough. Glad to be a part of the Burnside family. He opened the door for us and for other great musicians who love this style of music as well. You know, so I'm just happy to be a part of that family, and I'm really grateful that the Hill Country Blues is embedded in my heart and it'll always be there, you know.
So in your recent release, I Be Trying, 10 out of the 12 tunes are original, and you have a couple of R.L. Burnside, yes, including Bird Without a Feather, which is great.
Well, thank you.
That balance. You have to be thoughtful when you're putting a CD together, and that balance. Yeah. How do you derive that?
Well, you know, I love acoustic music. That's something I watched as a kid. I watched my big daddy all the time sitting on the porch playing the guitar. You know, some evenings when he get off the tractor, he would sit and play the guitar for 30 or 40 minutes before he get cleaned up. And I would sit there and watch it. You know, I would be one of many grandchildren sitting there and watching it. And so I always loved that style of music as well, just really stripped down acoustic blues. But I also love, you know, to hear the drums. You know, the drums makes it more hypnotic. So the balance, it just comes when, you know, when you least expect it. You know, you can't just get in it and look for it and wait on it. You just got to let it come. That's a great question, you know.
It's hard. It's a hard one. But, you know, what I also love is that on the title track, I Be Trying, there's the younger generation.
Yes.
Your daughter is, yes, singing with you, and that must be so gratifying.
Made me so proud.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Made me so proud. She loves music. I have three daughters. My youngest daughter, Portugal, the one that's on my album, she loved music. All of my daughters love music. My oldest daughter is LaShaya. And my middle daughter is Colilla. All of them love music, love to sing. But my youngest daughter, she walk around the house singing all the time. She's in the shower singing all the time, you know. And I love it. And so a lot of times we would sit around in the front room and I would pick up the guitar and just started playing. And I would tell her to match the guitar. Put your voice with the guitar. We would just do that for hours. You know, right. We would come up with harmonies together for hours. And I asked her, does she want to do this song with me? And of course, she loved it.
I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, but I'm lonely. I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying to do the best that I can. I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, but I'm lonely. I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying, I'll be trying to do the best that I can. Things I used to do, I try not to do no more.
Knowing that she wanted to do this song with me made me very proud. I thought you would, and I'm glad to get the chance to, you know, do a song with my daughter.
What is the difference for you between performing live, as you're about to do, and recording in a studio?
I would say the difference between that is when I'm in a studio, you know, I can go in any room and just sit there and think of things and write, which is all good. I love to write and I love to think about things. But when I'm on stage, it's a different energy. I'm creating music in the studio, yes, and the energy is great. But when I take the music energy on stage and mix it with the crowd's energy, wow, it's really something. You know, it's something totally different. It's really hard to explain because it takes me back, you know, and if I see people dancing to this music, that lets me know that they enjoy what I'm doing, they love what I'm doing. And seeing them feed off my music, I feed off of them. I feed off their energy. And it just makes it be this really big, great thing, you know, a great ball of energy. And I love to see the looks on their face. They tell me they love it all the time. It makes it worth it. Makes it really worth it.
Well, you tour a lot.
Yeah.
How is life on the road for you? That can be tough.
Yeah, I'm not going to say It's not tough some days, you know, because it's really tough. It's definitely work, in a sense, when you have to travel to do it. Playing my music is not work to me. You know, it's what I love. You know, it definitely comes from my heart. There's a lot of times I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's a lot of times I have to be at the airport at 4:30, 5 o'clock. So it's a lot of work. Sometimes I have to jump in the car and leave, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning and drive to a place, you know, to do a show. But I love it. I've been doing it all my life, literally all my life, you know.
This is something I'm just really so curious about, because this is Mississippi Hill Country blues. And it comes from a particular place.
Yes.
And I'm just so curious how we can hear that place in the music.
Wow. That is a great question. I like that. But you know, that's very interesting. You can hear the sound of that music. Yeah, it's easy to pick up because it's so unique. You know, it's so unique. It's really easy to pick up when you playing it. You know, the energy. A lot of people call it hypnotic. A lot of people say it puts you in a trance. But whatever it does, I'm glad to do it. You know, I'm really glad to play it and you know, put people in the trance. You know, I hope it's a really good energy that they feel.
And then finally, because I know you have to go, you've won many awards. We've talked about a couple of.
Yes.
And now you're an NEA National Heritage Fellow.
Wow.
And yeah.
All right.
And if you can just tell me what that means for you.
Well, before I tell you that, I have to be completely honest. Before I knew I won this award, like I didn't know nothing about it. I had never heard of this award before in my life. And it was such an honor. When I look at this award, it's like the biggest thing I can ever, you know, receive from anybody, from anything. You know, it's the highest honor in the nation for your music. I don't know what to say. You know, I'm just so honored and just blown away that they chose me. That goes again with the universe. You know, we're going to keep on working. You
know? Well, the universe keeps saying
we're
yes.
We're going to keep on working.
Cedric,
yeah.
Thank you so
truly
much.
Honored.
Truly, thank you for giving me your time. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Glad I can do it.
That was Hill Country Blues musician, songwriter, and 2021 NEA National Heritage Fellow, Cedric Burnside. His latest CD is I Be Tryin'. Cedric is one of 9 2021 National Heritage Fellows. All the fellows are being celebrated in a film called The Culture of America. Actor Jimmy Smits hosts the virtual event, which will take viewers on a trip across the country to the many places where this year's National Heritage Fellows live and work. The film streams on November 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern at arts.gov. It's a joyous moment you will not want to miss. That's November 17th at 8 p.m. at arts.gov. You've been listening to Artworks, produced at the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Josephine Reed. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.